Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.
David Sterrett is the former chair of the New York Film Critics Circle and National Society of Film Critics, contributing writer at Cineast, film professor at the Maryland Institute College of Art, and Robin Hood Radio's very own critic. He joins us weekly, the films Marty Supreme, The Smashing Machine, and The American Revolution.
I'd like to start off today by talking about the Safdie brothers, Josh Safdie and Benny Safdie. They have been making movies for quite a long while now, and usually they work as a team. I'll mention a couple of favorites of mine of their films, Daddy Long Legs from way back in 2009 and Uncut Gems from 2019, both very good movies. And I've done some other work as well. They've been very, very active players in the movie scene, again, as a team, co-directing most of their movies. It's kind of interesting because they're in a way parallel, although their career is not nearly as long, with the famous Coen brothers. And in the case of the Coen brothers, they recently started, not that recently, but a few years ago, started directing their own movies. And Joel Coen has been doing some really interesting work in that time on his own. And Ethan Coen has yet to click, at least in my opinion. He's done a little bit more work than Joel has, and has not been so successful at it. So now we have the Safdie brothers, who after making quite a number of films together, about five of them, I think, they have started working separately as well, and they have each released movies in the later part of 2025. And the first one I want to talk about is Marty Supreme, which just came out recently. Marty Supreme, which is the first movie directed solo by Josh Safdie. And stars Timothy Chalamet, and it is about table tennis. I don't think the term ping pong is used in the movie at all. It's always called table tennis. And that may be because ping pong, a lot of people don't realize this, but ping pong is a brand name. So maybe they had to stick with table tennis, at least most of the time. In any case, Timothy Chalamet plays a table tennis champion based on a real character, a guy named Marty Mauser. And at the beginning of the movie, it's way back in the early 1950s, and he is working in a shoe store run by his uncle. And at the same time, on the side, he is a very, very serious table tennis player. And he dreams of winning the British Open, and he dreams of defending this great Hungarian champion, and he wants to get Americans interested. He's convinced that table tennis could be a hugely popular sport if he could just help get American attention paid to it. Also, by the way, on the side, he has this sideline in novelty table tennis balls, which are orange and have his name on them. So that's another thing he's trying to do. Anyway, all this sounds like maybe it's going to be one of these stories about an aspiring champion who becomes a champion or something like that. And in fact, all kinds of complications happen away. His uncle owes him some money for his work in the shoe store, and he needs the money in order to get to London. So Marty Mauser robs his father's safe. And then he gets to London and he doesn't like where the players have to stay. And so he goes to the Ritz Hotel instead. And there he meets a retired actress played, by the way, by Gwyneth Paltrow. Interesting role for her, an aging former actress. And they have all kinds of things that go on with the two of them. And then eventually various matches start to take place. But Marty Mauser keeps getting in more and more trouble. He gets arrested because he stole the money from his uncle's safe. And then he finds out that his girlfriend is pregnant with his child, and all kinds of things happen. And it's a very complicated story in some ways, but it's full of action, and it certainly moves along very, very swiftly. At the end, there's a car chase, and there's a shootout, and all the kinds of things that we expect from movies made in the modern vein. So that's Marty Supreme. It is a huge hit. And movie critics have been loving it all over the place. I don't love it. I think it's one of the most overrated movies of the whole past year. And one of my big objections to it is the same as my objection to another great critical favorite and audience favorite, which is One Battle After Another, which I call One Car Chase After Another. It's just a whole lot of fast-paced action. And yes, there are all kinds of overtones, and you can think about the politics and so forth and so on. But as a movie, it's just not very good. It's very frantic, but it's not very good. I'll say something of the same thing for Marty Supreme. Chalamet's performance is fine, but it's not the career-changing kind of achievement that some people think it is. The supporting cast is good, but not great. And the movie mainly is just too frenetic for its own good. A fast pace and a whole lot of action and a whole big twisty plot are not enough to make an excellent movie. So if you want to see a whole lot of flash and glitz and stuff racing before your eyes all the time, sure, you'll have a great time at Marty Supreme. It's kind of like watching it's 2.5 hours long, kind of like watching a very, very long old-fashioned music video with just stuff flashing before your eyes every second. There's something different. But I don't think it's a very good movie, and I stick by that. Sorry, folks. Marty Supreme is not one of my favorites. Chalamet's performance is not one of my favorites. So I'll be interested if other people feel differently. Already, zillions of people feel differently. Again, the movie's a huge hit, but it just did not tickle my funny bone or any of my other bones in a pleasant way either. Now I would like to talk about a movie that's already been out for a little while, so it's not brand new, but this is the movie directed by Benny Safdie on his own, and it's called A Smashing Machine. This is a movie which is a box office flop and which did not get all that good reviews, and I think it's really good. So in my personal opinion, Benny Safdie is winning the race right now in terms of quality cinema between these two brothers who used to be such a tight-knit team. So The Smashing Machine is also a sports movie, but oh my gosh, a totally, totally, totally different kind of sport. We are now dealing with mixed martial arts, and we're dealing with a very big deal champion in the mixed martial arts, again, based on a very real character. So we have this guy who is very, very good at this, and he does all kinds of important things in the sport and all of that, but his life is troubled. He has a girlfriend, and they have a very on-and-off kind of relationship. They quarrel a lot, and different things happen between them. And then eventually we get down to the real sports stuff of the movie. And he has a coach whose name is Mark Coleman, also based on a real person. And the coach is also a competitor, and much later in the movie, the two of them get into a really ferocious competition, which has all kinds of interesting outcomes. And we have the movie going back and forth between the main character's sports career. I haven't even mentioned his name. It's Mark Kerr, and he's played by Dwayne Johnson. And his wife's name is Dawn Staples, or his girlfriend's name. So we go back and forth between his sports career, his rising in the field of martial arts, and his beating all kinds of people and then losing to some people as well. And it turns out he has some pretty bad habits. He has a drug dependency, and this is really, really bringing him down. He thinks it's necessary to enable him to fight well, but in fact it is really something that is slowly, and maybe not so slowly, killing his career. Also, he keeps getting into fights with his wife. He gets into fights with some of his colleagues. All kinds of things happen, and this complicates the story of the movie. He goes into rehab, but then that doesn't work out so well, and so he leaves, and oh, you know, the kind of thing that happens when you're dealing with movies about drug dependency and drug abuse and that sort of thing. Then eventually, Mark Kerr starts to do really well under a new coach, and he does really well, and he wins a big fight, and he gets back with his wife again, but then he leaves the responsible life that he's been having, and he has a big fight with his wife over her bad habits. And eventually the whole thing comes to a pretty interesting conclusion. And then we have a kind of an epilogue at the end where we see the present-day Mark Kerr, the real guy, and we see him living a really ordinary life, and we find out that he's been married to that girlfriend for a long time now, and he's apparently living a quiet life but a contented one, and we certainly hope that that's true after all that we've seen him go through over the course of this movie. So one of the things that I really, really liked about Smashing Machine, and again, with Marty Supreme, I'm one of the few who doesn't like the movie much. With The Smashing Machine, one of the few who does like the movie a whole lot. One of the things I really, really thought was excellent was Dwayne Johnson's performance in the leading role. My gosh, I never thought that he could do such interesting, restrained, nuanced acting and he really does it in this movie. And since he's at the center of almost every scene, his character, his performance is really crucial to this movie, and he does just a splendid job. Now, the supporting cast is good, too. Emily Blunt is really good at the girlfriend, Dawn Staples. We also have people like Bass Rutten and Alexander Usyk and Ryan Bader. And, you know, it's a good supporting cast, and they do good work in it. But as far as I'm concerned, it is really, really Dwayne Johnson's film. He was also one of the producers of the movie, and I think the whole thing was set up to be a big showcase for him. And in my estimation, it really works. I think it's a really solid performance, and I got to repeat one more time, since it's at the total center of the movie all the way through, it is what carries the movie, and it is worth seeing the movie for that alone. So, what a surprise. Dwayne Johnson gives what I regard as one of the most interesting performances in a very long time. And The Smashing Machine, largely but not entirely because of that, is a very good movie. So I think that Benny Safdie is on a roll. I hope that Josh Safdie recovers himself in my eyes. But right now, the two brothers have split up, and they're both doing interesting work. But my gosh, I'm really looking forward to seeing what happens with Benny Safdie next. And by the way, I hope they get back together again, because they're really good filmmakers as a team. And now, as Monty Python used to say, for something completely different. We just talked about two sports movies, assuming that we consider ping pong a sport, and which I guess it is. And now I want to talk about a documentary. It's a mini-series, and it's out right now, and it is called The American Revolution. And this is the new series by Ken Burns, who has done this thing many, many times in the past. But in this case, he co-directed with Sarah Botstein and David P. Schmidt. And it is obviously from the title, it is about the American Revolution. It's all about the Revolutionary War and all the political events that surrounded the Revolutionary War way back in the late part of the 18th century. Now, Ken Burns has done some pretty good work in the past. I think his Civil War series is good. I enjoyed that, and I think I probably profited by watching it. I have to say, and I'm going to be negative again now, The American Revolution is just not very interesting. It is very educational, yes. You get all kinds of facts and figures and stuff like that. But as a miniseries, it just is dull. My gosh, yes. The narration, which is by Peter Coyote, by the way, gives you all kinds of facts and all kinds of interesting things. Yes, yes, yes. That absolutely happens, although I have to say that after a while, after like each one of the episodes is roughly 2 hours long, so by the time you get half through this about 12-hour extravaganza, I was really tired of hearing Peter Coyote's voice. Then all kinds of other voices of every actor and actress who you can think of give little quotations from people who spoke out during the American Revolution. So you have everybody from Tom Hanks and Claire Danes to Liev Schreiber to Paul Giamatti, all kinds of people, and they lend a little bit of variety to the soundtrack. But mostly you're hearing Peter Coyote talk. And he's giving American history a kind of a high school version of it. It's not deep. It's not particularly analytical. It's sort of one fact, one incident, one event after another. Okay, so I'm not enthusiastic about the soundtrack of the movie. I have to add that the music is absolutely by the numbers. It's just the stuff that you would put into a series like this. It's this sort of old-fashioned music played in a sort of a doleful way, usually on the soundtrack. And I found it boring. And then, above all, the visuals of the movie are just dull. We have these paintings. We have these sketches. We have these maps. Every once in a while, there's something interesting, but mostly it's just illustrating the things that Peter Coyote is droning away about, and it is just boring. So, as a source of information, perfectly good. You learn all kinds of things if you really pay attention to this series. But as a cinematic experience, as a movie experience, as a miniseries experience, which is roughly 12 hours long, it is dull. So, unfortunately, it often reminded me of sitting through some high school history class by a teacher who was not very good and who just groaned away and bored me. I wish I could say great things about the American Revolution. Everybody should watch it if they want a sort of a 12-hour bit of education into this hugely important world event. But as actual television, as actual cinema, as actual moving image art, it is just dull, probably as dull as anything Ken Burns has done. I wish I had a better report, but I'm afraid I don't. So that is my not particularly revolutionary story this week.
For which we thank you as ever and always, David Sterrett, Films in Focus. The films Marty Supreme, The Smashing Machine, and The American Revolution.
Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.